You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Michael Spinella. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Canadiens Connection Podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio, keeping you informed, engaged, and entertained. My name is Michael Spinella, and I'll be your host for the next hour. This is episode 294 of the Canadiens Connection Podcast, and I'm pleased to be joined in the studio by my co-host, the editor of the Hockey News Montreal, the founder and the president of Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. And Rick, how are you doing today?
Good day, sir. I'm doing well. Are we going to do it? It's the first, our first podcast of May, May 4th. Are we doing it? Are we doing the Star Wars thing?
May the 4th be with you, Ray.
Oh, thank you so much. I prefer to think of it as Dave Brubeck Day. Might be a nerdy reference. Dave Brubeck is a jazz legend, piano player. His most famous recording was Take Five, done in 5/4. As a musician, you should be able to appreciate the 5/4 with saxophone. Paul yeah. Desmond, who's terrific. Can we call it Dave Brubeck Day?
Yeah,
between musicians here.
He didn't write anything for Star Wars, I don't think, which is unfortunate. That would have been the best tie-in, but still, yeah, exactly. I think we can share the day with the two.
All right, we'll do that then.
But on this show, we have quite a bit to get to. This one's entitled Montreal Canadiens Summer Blueprint, Candidates to Draft, Trade, and Sign. We'll take you through all your Montreal Canadiens news updates in this first segment. We'll hear from some prospects and some news from around the NHL as well. In segment two, we're titling this one Threading the Needle for Short-Term and Long-Term Gains. We're going to talk about the Habs this upcoming summer. And in segment three, it's a Have Your Say segment. We're going to turn it over to our listeners and ask our Canadiens Connection question of the week. What is your dream scenario for the Habs this offseason? We want to hear from you. And Rick, what's the best way for all of our listeners to reach out to us?
If you're new to the show, you may not know that we've set up a phone number specifically for you. You can leave us a voice message, but most prefer to text. Because it's easy to text 24 hours a day, and the number is 5853-ROCKET. That's 5853-ROCKET, or if you prefer, 585-376-2538.
You can also reach out to us on social media. Just make sure that you are following at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Plus, you can check out the website CanadiansConnection.fm. And here's a couple interesting stories from this past week. Looking at our Habs notebook, we had a couple stories written by Chris G. The first one is entitled David Reinbacher Gained Valuable Experience with the Laval Rocket. So after joining the Laval Rocket on May the 14th, Reinbacher turned out 5 points in 11 games, and he looked pretty good down there.
Yeah, 11 games for him to get exposure to the North American game, the ice. And I thought he looked good as well. You'll read the quotes that Reinbacher made. Chris G, of course, at Plasbell to gather all of that information, and just it'll talk about exactly what Rheinbacher is, his frame of mind going into the offseason.
The other story is Logan Mailloux is preparing to prove himself again after breaking a record this season with Laval Rocket. So he played 72 games in the AHL. That was all the games with the Rocket this season. And he finishes the season with a franchise record for goals for defensemen. He also had that one NHL game right at the end there. He's looking like quite the stud on the back end.
Yeah, for sure. Mailloux was the only Laval Rocket player to play all the games for them. We saw that he was, for rookie defensemen, named to the rookie team at the end. He was part of the All-Star selection and went to the All-Star game. Had a tremendous season and didn't look out of place in that game against Detroit where he made his NHL debut.
So make sure that you are checking out Habs Notebook posts and feature articles appearing daily at thn.com/Montreal throughout this whole offseason. And looking at some roster news, bad news for the Canadiens. They lost a draft pick this week. So if you remember the Sean Monahan trade with the Winnipeg Jets, well, the conditional third does not go to the Montreal Canadiens as Winnipeg takes a first-round exit. Kind of disappointed in Winnipeg's performance in that first round. Disappointing that the Habs do not get that extra pick. But Rick, I remember you saying something specifically about this pick.
I said that it was a bit of smoke and mirrors by Ken Hughes. It was about him leveraging the media. The conditions on that pick, that the Winnipeg Jets had to win the Stanley Cup before it was triggered, meant that it was not going to happen. It was very, very unlikely it was going to happen. So why put it in at all? Well, simply so that Kent Hughes could say to the media that he had gotten two more assets for trading Sean Monahan. And that was, you saw those were the headlines. So it just put the GM in a more positive light, leveraging the media. He does it all the time. But it, again, it wasn't terribly meaningful. I don't think we were fooled at the time, that the Canadiens would actually be able to get that pick.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Canadiens signed defenseman Adam Engstrom to a 3-year entry-level contract that will span from the 2024-25 season to the 2026-27 season. He spent the season with Rogel BK in 51 games. He put up 22 points. And had he not made it all the way to the SHL Finals, I think he would have joined the Laval Rocket. But fortunately, all Adam Engstrom was doing right up until the end was win. So congratulations to him. We'll talk about him a little bit more later on, but it's nice to see him finally sign that contract.
Yeah, and based on what happened at the end, a nice consolation prize to sign your 3-year entry-level contract. He is... it was just a couple of days after the SHL Finals ended. And he's looking forward to training camp, although I think he's a realist that training camp is going to be tough. It's going to be tough for a Logan Mailloux or a David Rheinbacher and also for an Adam Engstrom. I think also he's looking at the potential roster in Laval and where he fits in that. I think it should be known that these prospects, they're looking at Montreal, they're looking at Laval. They understand the situation. It isn't a surprise when they come over. And he had said, I know that there's a stacked blue line, both Montreal and Laval. So it sounds like he doesn't have a contract with Rogel next year. It sounds like the Canadiens prefer him to be in North America, whether that's with the big team, with the NHL team, or more likely with the AHL team.
It was a big week for Montreal defensemen as Hockey Canada announced that Caden Gooley has been named to the Team Canada roster for the 2024 IIHF World Championships. This is a big opportunity for Caden Gooley. He'll certainly get plenty of minutes there. He'll play a key role, and he's going to be joined by some pretty good company. Jordan Binnington, Connor Bedard, Bowen Byram, and Macklin Celebrini also on that team.
Yeah, I think this is, well, Caden Gooley at the end of season meetings, media availability, said he would he had gotten an invitation and he wanted to go, just wasn't sure whether he would be healthy in time to go. Apparently cleared up from his concussion symptoms. So, the opportunity to play with Bowen Byram and Pareko and Owen Power is going to be there. It's going to be a great experience for him. You mentioned one of the goaltenders, Binnington. We'd understand why maybe Montembeau wouldn't want to be playing back up to a Binnington. The other two goalies for Team Canada will be the other St. Louis goalie, Joel Hofer, and then Nico Dawes as well. So it's going to be, a tournament that's more populated by NHLers this season, which wasn't the case last year. And so hopefully we're going to see some very competitive games.
Yeah, certainly going to be watching it. And you mentioned the goalies there. Both Hofer and Dawes, younger goaltenders, but still a lot of potential. I'm curious to see how they're going to perform there. And I think Binnington, someone that's in consideration for the Olympic team and the Four Nations faceoff to be on Team Canada. So it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, for sure.
And now I think it's a good time to get to this week's winners and losers.
And now it's time for this week's winners and losers on the Canadians Connection.
And as I promised last week, we do have a loser for this week. I'll start with the winner, though, on a more positive note. And I'm going to give the winner to all of the Vancouver Canucks goaltenders. So if you've been following Vancouver throughout that series against the Nashville Predators in the first round, you saw that Thatcher Demko played one game. He won it, but then had a knee injury. And then in the next game, Casey DeSmith came in. He played two games. He won the second one, lost the first one. But he sustained an injury before game four, and that welcomed one Artur Seelovs, who came in and played three games. He was stellar, the third string goaltender, taking them all the way to the next round as they won it last night on Friday. And three games, Arters has a 1.7 goals against average, a .938 save percentage, and one shutout. Two wins in there, one loss, and honestly, just big congrats to that whole crew. Just great depth on Vancouver, and each one of these goaltenders looking like stars, at least before they got injured, at least.
Great pick. And you know that I always agree when a goaltender is chosen for winner of the week.
For sure. And now it's time for the loser. And this one goes to a Toronto Marley, Kyle Clifford. So if you look at that first round of the AHL playoffs, it was the Belleville Senators versus the Toronto Marlies. The Senators did manage to advance to the second round. They beat the Marlies in game three, 4-3 in overtime. The players needed to be separated after Garrett Pilon scored the series winning goal. And that feud carried all the way until the handshake as Marley's veteran forward Kyle Clifford went after Boko Amama, and they had to be separated from the line by the officials, and both players had to go to the dressing room. I don't think Boko Amama really did anything during that period of time. I know that he's the type of player, he's an agitator, he'll get under your skin. But wow, Kyle Clifford looking like a maniac, and it's just so disrespectful when you see the series has come to an end. Not only is there a scrum after the game-winning goal, but a scrum in the handshake line. You know what? It's just classless from Kyle Clifford. And I'm looking at Kyle Clifford here in a contract season, actually. I wonder if this is something that might deter NHL teams from going after him as someone that's going to be an AHL veteran, someone that's going to be a role model for some of those younger players. And you look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, I feel like the Maple Leafs just always have this loser's mentality, and I wonder where this is coming from. Maybe Kyle Clifford's got to take a look in the mirror here.
Well, I think this is a brilliant pick. And listen, if you don't know who Kyle Clifford is, he's a veteran. It's not the emotions of youth here. Kyle Clifford is 33 years old. He's a veteran of 750 games, more than 750 games in the NHL, over 100 games in the AHL. He knows better than this. And one of the things that, you know, when the handshake line comes together that you hear every broadcaster say is this beautiful tradition of hockey that two teams battle tooth and nail to the end, and then they can come together and be gentlemanly about all of this. And Kyle Clifford threw a hand grenade into that. And the only other case I can remember of, and it didn't get to fisticuffs. It was just a very long handshake and a Milan Lucic threatening Dale Weiss with death. when the Bruins and Canadians were in the handshake line, that's the only other comparable incident that I can think of, and obviously Clifford was much worse.
Yeah, for sure. And I remember a time where Martin Brodeur refused to shake hands with it was Sean Avery, I believe. I know not the most classy thing either, but at least like there wasn't a brawl, there was no threats in that.
Yeah,
but Kyle Clifford, not a good look for him. And with that, I think it's a good time to get to this week's Habs prospect report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world. Bookmark thn.com/Montreal to follow our comprehensive coverage of Canadiens prospects.
Each week, we like to highlight Montreal Canadiens prospects, and this week, we are going to update you on all the Canadiens prospects remaining in the playoffs. Although, for a couple of these prospects, the playoffs came to an end this past week. Let's start with Owen Beck of the Saginaw Spirit. The Saginaw Spirit have forced a Game 6 in their series against the London Knights. Currently, London up 3-2 in that one. In the playoffs, Owen Beck's been a big contributor, putting up 14 points in 16 games. What have you thought about Owen Beck? I know that you're invested in the London Knights for sure.
Yeah, my number one team is Kitchener, but also lived in London, so I do like the London Knights. But listen, Owen Beck has been terrific. He had a good start to the season with Peterborough, but then traded to the hosts of the Memorial Cup, that being the Saginaw Spirit. He was terrific there, 51 points in 32 games, and then almost a point a game pace in the playoffs. So he's sending a message. He's going to be at the Memorial Cup, and I think that he's going to have a good chance to be on the Canadiens roster after training camp this fall.
And just earlier, we talked about Adam Engstrom. He played with Rogo BK this past season in the SHL. He played 15 playoff games, and his team earned the silver medal, coming in second place, going all the way to the final there. So congrats to Adam Engstrom, big contributor too. He's a big defenseman, 6'2", 193 pounds as well. Recorded 4 assists throughout his playoffs as well.
Yeah, mostly, I think there's some offense to come. I think this guy is underrated, and partly because of where he's played. But we were talking, early March about maybe he'll be able to come join the Laval Rocket. Well, he couldn't because his team was playing well. And unfortunately, in game 7 lost out. But as we talked about earlier, he's focused on camp. He's realistic about his possibilities to make the roster. And I think he's going to work hard this summer and be really prepared at camp in the fall.
For sure. But Vincennes Roar seems to have one-upped Adam Engstrom as he wins the Swiss Elite title. That team is coached by Mark Crawford as well, a former NHL coach. Vincennes was a contributor, maybe a little bit lower in the lineup, more of a workhorse-type player in 15 playoff games, only 4 points. But like I said, Vincennes a little bit lower in that lineup. Great experience for him, and big congratulations on winning the Swiss League title.
Yeah, in that game 7, the Lions won, Zurich Lions won 2-0, and Roar assisted on one of those two Zurich goals. So congratulations to him. He has a Swiss title to his name, and we'll see what's next for him.
So in other prospect news, not a big surprise to us, but it was announced that Jacob Fowler will return to Boston College next season. I think that it's good that Fowler is not going pro this year. Not that we would have expected this, at least. It's nice to see him returning back to his team. He'll probably be in contention to go for a title here. I know he made it to the final this past season, but came up just short.
Yeah, this is a nice little article by our friend Jeff Chamon on the French side of NHL.com. Did an interview with Jacob Fowler, who said, quote, I will return to Boston College for a second season. It's my decision. I don't know how long I'll stay with the Eagles, but it's for a second season for sure. He goes on to say, quote, I only played one season in college, and I know there's a big gap between the NCAA and playing professionally. I've reached out to NHL goalies who've also played at Boston College, Spencer Knight and Joseph Woll, who's doing some wonderful things in the playoffs for the Leafs, offered me valuable advice. And then said that, you know, everybody has their own path to the NHL, but apparently Knight and Wall said not to rush, enjoy his time at Boston College, and that once he gets to the pros, it's a job, it's a very different atmosphere. So all good advice. The only other interesting point in that I thought is that as part of being at Boston College and the academic side, he is required to take one foreign language credit. He chose, it's not a surprise, he chose French. Nice. So he's learning, and we know when he was drafted, he has some French-speaking roots with grandfather, I think, that came from the Montreal area. So so he's embedded, invested in that, and said he was able to practice with Gabe Perreault and whatnot during the year. So that's the update that we have on one Jacob Fowler.
Byron Bader of HockeyProspecting.com ranks the Canadiens as second in prospects in the NHL. That seems pretty high compared to a lot of other rankings where they rank the team by prospects. I'm a little bit shocked here, but just looking at this list here, he's got the skater rank is number 2, the goalie rank is number 16. What are your thoughts on this, Rick?
Well, you know, we bring you prospect rankings from Corey Pronman, from Scott Wheeler, Stephen Ellis, a number of them. We're talking about The Athletic and Daily Faceoff and others. Byron Bader is well followed on Twitter, runs hockeyprospecting.com, and we probably we thought it would be good to bring you a different look. This was his May 2024 prospect rankings. He says that the top 5 prospects for the Canadiens are in order: Lane Hutson, David Reinbacher, Justin Barron, number 3, Joshua Waugh, and Sean Farrell. He said, don't worry, Slavkovsky isn't there because he's played over 100 games and doesn't count as a prospect. That the Canadiens have good pieces, but not necessarily that star. And he goes on to say, imagine this prospect pool if it had Michkov instead of Reinbacher, then, you know, it'd be a whole different story. He was very high on Michkov. And he said that expect the Habs to draft a high-end forward prospect with their first pick, and that would replace either Waugh or Farrell. Whoever they pick would immediately be in their top 5 prospects. With respect to the goalie ranking, which I thought was, you know, 16th, I thought it might be a little bit higher. He says that in his opinion, their goalie pool is lacking, but Jacob Fowler could be the answer. He's not convinced on just 1 year's numbers, so that's where he's downgraded the Canadiens a little bit. with respect to prospects. So a different viewpoint. We want to hear your viewpoint too. This is a perfect time to reach up, grab your phone, text us 585-3-ROCKET. If you've seen, if you're familiar with him, if you follow him, Byron Bader, let us know what you think of his work or who you prefer and where you think the Canadiens' prospects land with respect to ranking in the NHL.
For sure, and we look forward to hearing from everyone. Some lesser news coming from the Laval Rocket. Laval Rocket forward Philip Cederquist has signed with Frölunda HC in the SHL. Laval acquired Cederquist this past season in exchange for future considerations, so not a huge loss there.
Yeah, he had played 19 games, I think, for Rochester, and then acquired for that infamous future considerations. The Laval Rocket needed help at the forward position. They added him at 23 years old, an older prospect, but kind of a placeholder, and not a surprise to see him go to the SHL, but a very good program in Frölunda.
Looking at the Trois-Rivières Lions, the ECHL playoffs are still continuing, but for the Trois-Rivières Lions, last Saturday on April the 27th, they faced off against Norfolk. I guess it was an elimination game, as Norfolk was up 3-1 in that series. Trois-Rivières extended it one game, and the very next day on the Sunday, Norfolk was able to end that series with a 4-3 victory, winning that one 4-2 overall. Kind of a crazy season for the Trois-Rivières Lions. Started off incredible. They hit the lowest of lows. They managed to squeak into the playoffs, and not a great showing in this series, if we're being completely honest. But I think we can go into this offseason with high hopes for next year, right?
Of course. There were some standouts there were some call-ups from Laval, from Trois-Rivières. It was, as you said, on ice, it was just an absolute roller coaster with the highest of highs and lowest of lows. As well, you had I was always getting used to a new face with respect to the administrative side, lots of exits as the organization itself, its future was in doubt as far as, whether it would be allowed to continue, the ownership issues. They had the same ownership group, that the Newfoundland Growlers had. We know the Growlers were disbanded. Trois-Rivières hung on and last minute got there were a number of buyers that fell through. Then they got a buyer that hung on. It was tumultuous season. So I give them credit for battling in the playoffs and taking it to the playoffs to six games and really the only team in the organization, in the Canadiens organization, that made it that far, that made it to the playoffs.
Continuing along with the Lions here, the ECHL approved the sale of the Trois-Rivières Lions. The Board of Governor approved a transfer of the Lions from Deakin Sports and Entertainment to Spire Hockey. So the league's favorable vote was the final step in concluding that sales process. So they have new ownership, which is why I mentioned I think we can go into this offseason with a little bit of positivity, right?
Right. And I think the key, we knew that that the transfer was in process, that it wouldn't be completely finalized. Deakin Sports still was able to control the team until the end of the year. Now Spire Sports, Spire Hockey takes over. The only outstanding question, Spire Hockey has two other, this was the Lions are the third ECHL franchise that they own. The owner is an American business person, and there was some concern that he would move the franchise to the States. With the finalization, he's made a commitment to Trois-Rivières, and that's great news for the good people there who love hockey and who love the Lions, and So it's good news all around for the franchise, and hopefully with a little bit more stability than they had this season, they can put a little bit better product on the ice.
For sure. So you can find all of our content on Canadiens Prospects at thn.com/Montreal, and you can find excellent English language coverage of the Quebec Maritimes Junior Hockey League at thn.com/QMJHL. And now it's time to get to our quote of the week. And honestly, with the season coming to an end, we're doing something a little bit different here. And we get to hear from Jared Bednar. Remember Arturi Lehkonen as a Montreal Canadian? I'm a little bit underrated, not someone that was really liked around the media. I think the organization maybe undervalued him. And when he was traded in exchange for Justin Barron plus, it seemed like it was a bit of a swindling by Kent Hughes. But he's fit into that Colorado organization and looked pretty good. And here's what Jared Bednar has to say about Arturi Lehkonen.
Does Lehkonen maybe get enough recognition for his contribution?
That's an easy one. That's no. He does not. Yeah. I mean, if you really watch video and dissect video and look at how many plays Lecky makes on any given night on the offensive side, on the defensive side, he doesn't get anywhere near enough credit for what he does for our team. And he's so valuable to our team in every aspect, power play, penalty kill, 5-on-5, down goals, up goals, scores big goals. I mean, this guy's a relentless worker. This guy's a warrior. So I think, like, super underrated.
Super underrated. The question was, you know, does he get enough recognition? Left the question from the reporter. And a good question. Does Lehkonen get enough recognition? And Bednar, head coach of the Avs, says that's an easy one to answer. Absolutely not. That he contributes in so many ways. He's relentless. You can stick him anywhere in the lineup. All the plays that he makes, that he is a warrior. And all of that is really well said. It's the kind of thing, honestly, that we were saying. I always talked about, Lehkonen's work ethic, and the fact that he was completely unappreciated in Montreal. He was heavily criticized by the media, that he didn't have any offense in his game. Almost Lehkonen was a hashtag. He was mocked mercilessly by the media. And I do remember, we have long memories, and the same folks who were saying at the time that they finally got rid of Lehkonen, and that Kent Hughes had fleeced the Colorado Avalanche in getting Barron and a pick. So because Barron and I remember this quote, that Barron and Norlander were going to be the top pairing for the Canadiens' defense for years and years and years, and they reflected the modern NHL, the modern defenseman. And listen, I'm not criticizing Justin Barron. He hasn't reached his potential, I think is fair to say. And we're not writing him off just yet. But I think that, well, I think we can say that about Matthias Norlander. We try to be objective. We try to be, and sometimes are accused that, you know, we're not enthusiastic enough, but it shows that some of this overzealous stuff is just absolute nonsense. And the funny thing is that the same folks who were talking about it being a fleece job when the trade happened have now changed their tune and are talking about how good Lehkonen has been for Colorado. So I just find it all quite fascinating, to be honest.
Yeah, I can agree with all of that. And with that, I think it's a good time to get to some hockey news and notes from around the league. We have some NHL awards finalists that have been announced. What we'll do here is I'll say the award, I'll list out who's nominated, and then Rick and I can just say who we think should be winning. Let's start with the Calder Trophy. Connor Bedard, Brock Faber, and Luke Hughes. I feel like this is Connor Bedard's trophy to lose. Is that about right?
Yep. I completely agree. And I should say that for the Hockey News, given the editor of the Montreal website on the Hockey News, I was asked to vote for these awards, and I'll be on, and that was done, I think, a month ago. I'll tell you who I put down on paper my vote for each of these awards, and for me, for Calder, it was Bedard.
Taking a look at the Jack Adams Award finalists for the best coach, you have Rick Bowness, Andrew Burnett, and Rick Tocchet. Actually, all three of these are great nominations. I'm leaning towards a Rick Bowness of the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, and keep in mind that these the nominations are coming out through the playoffs. The NHL is releasing the finalists in dribs and drabs throughout to create excitement, I guess. But the this is a regular season award, so the playoffs and the Jets' quick exit doesn't have anything to do with this award. So Bonus is a good pick. Burnett would probably be third on my list. I chose Rick Tocchet here.
Oh, nice. For the James Norris Memorial Trophy for the best defenseman, Quinn Hughes, Roman Josi, and Cale Makar are the nominations. And this one's close. I like all of three of these. I'm kind of leaning towards Quinn Hughes based off of the season he just had. He was absolutely amazing for the Canucks.
Yeah, going into the season, you might think that Makar would be well ahead of the other two, but I chose Quinn Hughes as well. He had a tremendous season.
The Bill Masterton Memorial Trophy, three very good finalists with Frederick Anderson, Connor Ingram, and Oliver Shillington. You could go anyway with this one. I really liked Ingram a couple weeks ago, but I'm leaning towards one Frederick Anderson, of course, coming back from a clotting issue and in his first game back beating the Montreal Canadiens. But anyways, he's been really good since coming back, and I think that's just a great story there for Frederick Anderson.
Yeah, this is a really tough one, and it's not just because Anderson and Ingram are both goalies, which, of course, a little bit biased towards, but both terrific story, very different stories, completely different stories. I just admire the fortitude of Connor Ingram and the struggles that he went through. And so I leaned in the Connor Ingram direction.
And coming out just an hour before we started recording was the Lady Byng Memorial Trophy. So based off of sportsmanship, and the nominations are Austin Matthews, Elias Pettersson, and Jacob Slavin. I'm not sure that I really have an opinion on this one because obviously I'm not playing. I'm not there to see who is demonstrating that. Did you have a favorite for this one, Rick?
I do. It's Jacob Slavin. Nice. And part of the reason is he's a defenseman. How often does a defenseman win this award? How often does a defenseman is a defenseman able to take as few penalty minutes as Jacob Slavin does and still be very effective? So I think for that, those reasons alone that I'm not Matthews fan. Kyle Connor, I considered as well, but Slavin is a really compelling story for me.
Okay, I'll defer to you on that one, and I will also pick Jacob Slavin.
Thank you.
The Carolina Hurricanes signed a 3-year AHL affiliation agreement with the Chicago Wolves. That's very good news for the Hurricanes and the Wolves, I think. The Wolves went independent for a season. And actually, back in 2022, they won the championship in the AHL. So happy to see that there's a partnership for these two teams once again.
Kind of a funny story here if you haven't been following. Patrick Williams will tell you about the story. Amy Johnson will tell you about this story, and you may get some of it on the Rocket Hockey Report in upcoming videos. But a real tension where you have the Chicago Wolves who are kind of fiercely independent. You have the Carolina Hurricanes who like to do things differently but do them a certain way. And that tension led to a divorce and a reconciliation, I suppose, is the way you might characterize it. It was tough for the Hurricanes this past year without an AHL affiliate, having to farm their prospects out to other organizations, AHL teams. And so nice to see this back the way it should be, I'd say.
And we had another coach firing in the NHL. This time it's the Kraken firing Dave Haxtell. There were some rumors that it was the players that pushed out Haxtell. Ron Francis confirmed that was very much not the case. And you pointed out last episode that it was about half of the coaches in the NHL that were fired. I think we're a little bit over half now.
Yeah, I think that came up from LeBron that he said it was about half. So, yeah, we're beyond that. I didn't like that was an ESPN story by Emily Kaplan. About the players forcing him out, which is essentially proved to not to be true, and that was an unfortunate. I'm not a big fan of the way Haxtell coaches either when he was in Seattle or with Philadelphia, but I don't like the way that all kind of was reported.
So we just talked about a coach firing. Well, what about an assistant coach being fired, as Todd Reirden was fired by the Pittsburgh Penguins? In his second stint with the Penguins, actually, he had two playoff appearances and was yet to make it past the first round. Of course, a disappointing season for the Pittsburgh Penguins, missing the playoffs, having a terrible first half of the season before turning it on at the end, just enough to make it interesting. You don't often hear or see assistant coach firing, so this is why we wanted to talk about this one a little bit.
And we're not, let's assure you that we're not going to get bogged down in reporting every assistant coach and trainer firing throughout the summer. Here, the really interesting part for me personally, is that Mike Sullivan said publicly, no, I am happy with my assistants. No one should be fired. They don't deserve it. And Kyle Dubas said, oh yeah. So this is a Dubas-Sullivan power struggle. And wow, if Mike Sullivan came on the market because of this dispute, either leaving the Penguins or being fired, there's a coaching candidate that would improve a team immediately. And that's why we mention it. Watch this Dubas-Sullivan power struggle, or if they're able to make up again.
For sure. And ending off the segment with some very big news, the NHL draft lottery is scheduled for Tuesday, May the 7th. They will announce the exact time next week. I believe it's come out on Monday. The Montreal Canadiens currently have an 8.5% chance of winning the draft lottery. So I know, Rick, you did your one tankathon. I'll wait until the day of, and I'll see how that matches up to the actual results.
And if you haven't been listening, I do it once a year, just once. And this is the first time ever that that the Canadiens got bumped up to the first overall pick in my Sims, so we'll see if that's true. But yes, a big week for the Montreal Canadiens. And once we know exactly their draft slot, then we'll be able to provide you more information on the rankings and the draft prospects, and have all our draft experts on. We'll get to more of that. You can go ahead and set up our wonderful second segment.
So coming up, we'll hear from our sponsors, DraftKings, and then we will get to our big topic segment, Summer Plan, Threading the Needle. This is the Canadiens Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio.
The chase for the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of playoff beards all the way till hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. The big question is, which game or series or team are you betting on first? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
Welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. I'm Michael Spinella, and you can find me on Twitter at the Spinella. With me in the studio is our president and founder of Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. Make sure to give him a follow on Twitter at Rocket Sports. You can also follow at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and check out our website, CanadiansConnection.fm. And just a little reminder here to make sure that you hit that subscribe button in the player or on your favorite podcasting app. That way you never miss a single episode of the Canadians Connection podcast. And as we said, this is the summer plan, threading the needle. We're going to take a look at some potential free agents, some potential trades, some potential prospects to draft at the upcoming draft. And of course, the Montreal Canadiens are looking to take a step forward in becoming a playoff team without sacrificing the plan. I know it's easy to get excited and look at certain big name players and want to have them all, but you have to consider whether or not it makes sense and if it's sticking to the plan.
Yeah, and we heard in the end of season media availability, both Jeff Gorton, Kent Hughes said that this is going to be a big summer. Perhaps next summer will be even bigger, but this summer will be a big summer. And that's created expectations, as we talked about in the fan base, that I think that Canadians fans are a little tired of they've been very, very patient. All of you out there have been very patient, but now the playoff word becomes more intriguing. And how do you do that? How do you get competitive in the short term without sacrificing any of those long-term goals towards the rebuild? So it's going to be very interesting. And with respect to summer priorities, I know you heard from Kent Hughes in the end of season media availability that I mentioned, but recently the whole group of hockey ops folks were in Finland for the under-18 championships. And during one of the intermissions, it was Brian Mudrick talked with Kent Hughes, and this is what he had to say.
You know, we've talked, and we had our end of the year media availability, and we talked about if we can continue to do things to advance the rebuild or the build, that we would do it. But you know, we're going to be mindful of what we're trying to do long term here, which is to build a team that can win, you know, on a sustainable level year after year, be competitive for the Stanley Cup. So if there's an opportunity to improve us and move it forward, we'll do it, but not at the expense of what we're trying to do long term.
So cautioning of fans, again reiterating kind of what he said at the end of the season media availability, and then again that was done, there's a bit of noise in the background in the arena as the intermission was going on, but basically him saying that the rebuild, or as he called it, the build, takes priority. They are working towards building a sustainable contender, and yes, they want to make the team more competitive, but the long-term priorities are far more important.
Yeah, I like what he had to say. I think that this is something he said a few times. This is something that we've seen in practice throughout a lot of the moves that he makes. And with that in mind, how about we talk about Pierre-Luc Dubois?
What?
Sportsnet explored the potential of whether the Los Angeles Kings should buy out, trade, or keep Pierre-Luc Dubois. And, of course, we're bringing this up because this is something that a lot of Habs media and fans have been wanting. Pierre-Luc Dubois was almost a bigger topic than the draft last season. I think that's fair to say, Rick. And it would have been going on for years whether or not Montreal would be able to acquire Dubois. And Dubois ended up in Los Angeles. He signed a big long-term 8-year contract, 8.5 per season, and he was not so good this past year. So he also has a full no movement clause kicking in July 1st. Let's explore what the Los Angeles Kings could do and what a potential buyout could look like. Of course, with just 1 year after signing that 8 times 8.5, well, it's they're going to have to spend a lot of money to get this guy out of town, unfortunately. In the one-third buyout, essentially the savings would be in and around $6.8 million per season for the first half of the buyout, and then towards the end in the 2030s, it would go down to $1 million per season with a cap hit ranging from $1.5 to $3 million throughout that. And then there's a two-thirds buyout, in which case the cap hit would probably be closer to just under $3 million, and it would range between $5 million and $2 million in cap savings. Of course, I'm not a math guy, so I'm not going to deep dive too much into that, but of course that's a lot of money if the Los Angeles Kings want to buy this guy out. The other options would be a trade, and who might be interested? Well, would the Montreal Canadiens be interested? Personally, I'd say I hope not. What do you think about this whole situation with Pierre-Luc Dubois?
Well, one of the reasons to mention Dubois at all is because at this time last year, a year ago, it was hard to find a Canadiens fan who wasn't all aboard the Dubois train. Bring him in, whatever you need to do, whatever you need to trade. Bring him in. Our mailbox, our text line, was filling up with Dubois questions. Whenever we had a mailbag, it was dominated by Dubois questions. So much so that we brought around this time. It was actually closer to the draft. And yes, the Dubois story was absolutely dwarfing the talk about the draft. And we brought in from The Athletic the Winnipeg beat reporter Murata Tez and talked about, you know, what to expect from him, what the Jets wanted in return. And I know that we received lots of criticism saying how negative we were about Dubois. Mike Rashel wrote an article about it at the time, and that just to set in context, that going into this offseason, that the shiny bauble, and maybe we know what the shiny bauble is this season, but the shiny bauble isn't always the direction to go in, that you got to keep a proper head about this, unfortunately for Pierre-Luc Dubois, all the things that we were saying about him last year and the reasons to be cautious played out exactly for Los Angeles, and he had a horrible season. And don't forget, don't discount, we talked about it last year, the fact that Marc Bergevin at the draft that was in Buffalo, and we were there, we saw it. Jarmo Kekäläinen from Columbus, the heated discussions, the begging that went on, Marc Bergevin for Pierre-Luc Dubois, and now Marc Bergevin with the Kings finally got, and you know that Marc Bergevin was thrilled to be able to be part of the organization that acquired him, and it's not worked out to the point where the Sportsnet is writing an article saying, should the Los Angeles Kings buy him out, trade him, or keep him, and how would they motivate him if they keep him and make him productive for this eight-year contract. As far as the Canadians, I haven't seen any Canadians fans saying that the organization should trade for him. I have seen, and please think about it before you suggest this. I've seen plenty of fans saying, okay, well, if he's bought out by Los Angeles, we could get him for cheap. And offer he'll be, if that happens, if he's bought out, he'll be a free agent. And let's get him on the cheap and try to let Marty do his magic and resurrect his career. No thanks. I'm saying it bluntly, plainly. I said no thanks last year. I'm saying no thanks again this year. I understand your excitement. I understand that this is a big season, off season. I understand that you have big expectations. Looking in another direction is my humble advice.
And I agree with you. I was very against the Montreal Canadiens trying to acquire this player last season. And look, the Winnipeg Jets got a huge return on him. They got in a lot of pieces. Gabe Vilardi just had an unreal season with the Winnipeg Jets. That was a great pickup for them there. And Pierre-Luc Dubois going the other way, being a winger at certain points, being a fourth line center at certain points last season. Just an awful season overall for Pierre-Luc Dubois. And honestly, if you're the Los Angeles Kings, looking at all the options, I feel like you kind of have to hang on to him and try and salvage what you have based off of you signed him to so much money and gave up so much to bring him in. If you're going to buy him out right away, that's got to be fireable for that entire front office. And would that potentially leave to Bergevin being the general manager of Los Angeles? Like you said, I think that, but I mean, yeah, it's just, it's not a good situation.
Yeah. And frankly, you know, the Kings can do whatever they want to do. I'm not much interested, as long as Canadiens fans understand that it wouldn't be a wise move for the team to bring in, Dubois at this stage of the rebuild.
For sure. I agree with you there. So Canadiens fans on free agency, and a lot of this coming from social media. We just talked about Dubois. We said that we would prefer to stay away from that. But some other names that we've seen floating around, in particular, the big ticket free agent, Steven Stamkos. Should Montreal sign Steven Stamkos if he comes available? And here's what I'll say. If I, in my wildest imagination, if Stamkos is willing to sign a one-year sweetheart deal to come to Montreal and get traded away at the deadline for a huge return, sure. Realistically, that's not going to happen. I don't see a reason why Stamkos would want to go from a perpetual cup contender in a tax-free state to the Montreal Canadiens in a rebuild. On top of that, Montreal's not one Steven Stamkos away from competing, so it just does not move the needle enough. What are your thoughts on Steven Stamkos here?
Yeah, Steven Stamkos has taken a hometown, well, not hometown, but a discount to stay with Tampa all these years. I don't think he's going to sign if he leaves Tampa, that he's going to sign for a discount. I also don't think Steven Stamkos is the player that he used to be. I don't think he's as effective as he once was. I don't think he could necessarily turn around the Canadiens' power play or anything like that. Absolutely, you'd welcome the talent like that, but not at the cost. And from the sounds of it, Brisbois is going to do whatever's necessary to keep him in Tampa. And yeah, I think going from the lowest tax jurisdiction in the NHL to one of the highest taxed jurisdictions is just not going to make sense for Stamkos.
And how about some more familiar names? Should the Montreal Canadiens try to re-sign players like Sean Monahan, who they just traded away, Tyler Toffoli, it was a couple seasons ago, Pacioretty, Tatar, all of these guys are going to be available this summer. Look, I like all of these players. I love the familiarity. I think Max Pacioretty getting back to the NHL and playing with the Capitals is a great story. I like Sean Monahan quite a bit. I think he was a great mentor for Joshua Waugh and Slafkovsky, for Doc, some of the other players too. I'm not sure that I see the fit there, especially on long contracts. And is Montreal in the position this summer to go out and fetch a big ticket free agent like that? I'm just not sure that I see the fit there. If I had to pick one, it'd probably be a Sean Monahan, but it's going to cost a lot of money because he just had a great season, right?
That's right. And listen, this isn't, I just want to, I know we said this, we're just going to remind everybody that this isn't us putting forth these names. We've gone to social media. We've received these from text messages, from our Facebook page, from YouTube. I've seen them on Reddit. I've seen them on the HF forums. These are Canadiens fans who are saying you need to go after these players, and in particular, former Canadiens like Monahan, Toffoli, Pacioretty, and Tatar. Tatar is the most bizarre one to me that's on this list. As you said, Monahan makes the most sense, but listen, he took a big discount to re-sign with the Canadiens after an injury-riddled situation, and it was a prove me, I'm proving myself contract. He did that, and now he'll want to, number one, cash in on the contract, and number two, play for a team where he can compete for a cup. So, you know, there's a fondness maybe for, and I understand why, and a familiarity, and I understand why Canadiens fans are putting forth these names, but I don't see them meeting either the goals towards the rebuild or making them close to being a playoff team.
And I'll just throw out one more name, an upcoming RFA, Marty Natchez. I know a lot of Habs fans are a big fan of this guy. He's a great player. If you've ever watched the Hurricanes play, he's certainly a standout. Should they go after him? I think he's young enough. I think he's a good fit. But again, this, given his RFA status and what you'd have to give up and what you'd have to pay, I'm not sure there's a fit there. We won't get into this one too much, but what are your thoughts on Marty Natchez?
I like it. I like this one a lot. And as you say, he's beloved by Canadiens fans. Hurricanes are going to have some cap issues to deal with, and they won't be able to sign everybody. You know, they're probably going to want to retain, or at least try to retain Jake Guentzel. They have some other issues to deal with. So this one kind of makes sense again, like everything. And as you said, it depends on the return.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And speaking of returns, we had a couple trades to talk about, well, potential trades to talk about, and these are some trades that have been in the rumor mills on Twitter and whatnot as well. Should the Montreal Canadiens trade for Patrick Laine or Trevor Zegras? Here's what I'll say. Zegras, I can actually stand behind this one a little bit because it is very reminiscent of what Kent Hughes got in Kirby Dach and Alex Newhook in reclamation projects that just had not fit in very well on the teams that they were on. Zegras is yet to play a full 82 games in 2022-23. He came close with 81, but last season only suited up for 31 games, and he's yet to live up to that full potential. We know he's skilled. I think he could come in and be one of the most skilled Montreal Canadiens forwards that they've had in, I almost want to say, a decade at this point. But again, this is going to be another situation where you're going to have to give up a player that you really like. I think the Ducks are looking for defensemen, maybe right shot. Are you willing to give up a Mayu or a Rheinbacher to bring in a Trevor Zegras? I'm not so sure. As per Patrick Laine, like the player, I think there's maybe some consistency issues. Unfortunately for him, he's not really been on good teams where he's fit in all that well to this point in his career. Yeah, I don't really like the fit of Laine on the Montreal Canadiens, but Zegras, I can kind of see. It's just you have to come back to, well, what's it going to take to get this player into the organization?
And I understand that there's Canadiens fans out there. They look at the trade that was engineered at the draft for Dach, for Kirby Dach. They look last year at the trade, the draft trade that was done for Alex Newhook, and they're trying to speculate as far as who it might be. I've heard names like Kent Johnson with Columbus, young, 21 years old. He had shoulder surgery. He was out at the end of February, I think, but kind of underachieved. But you also have to look. I know that Canadiens fans focus on what do we need? What do the Montreal Canadiens need? And yes, they need scoring. They need skill. They need talent. And so maybe Kent Johnson, who was able to achieve his potential would fit in, but you also have to look at what the other team needs. And the Blue Jackets have a lot of defensive potential, young defensemen, and that's what the Canadians have to trade, right? So you have to look at the match as well. Patrick Laine, I see that the Canadians fans are kind of salivating. A line of Doc, Slavkovsky, Laine. and I get it. And yes, now here's a player that was entered the player assistance program this past year and has underachieved. So there's issues there. I've heard Anton Lundell mentioned. Florida would be looking for draft picks. Dylan Holloway in Edmonton was, now he's had a bunch of injury issues mentioned. There's a familiarity there with Caulfield. But getting back to the big one, and I think it is Trevor Zegras. It's been talked about by Canadiens fans over and over and over again. For whatever reason, he hasn't fit his initial season, he hasn't really fit there. Pat Verbeek, this past season traded, their top prospect, their right-handed defenseman, Jamie Drysdale, to, Philadelphia. And that left a bit of a gap. So Pat Verbeek has said, that any trade involving Zegras, they're going to be looking for a right-handed defenseman coming back. And the reason that Zegras would consider trading him is they've got now, with Philadelphia trade, they have Cutter Gauthier, they have Leo Carlson, Mason McTavish. They got a lot of good young forwards, and so maybe could give up on a Zegras. But his season moved to the wing, and started off with, I think he had 2 points in the first 12 games. But he ended the season well after the injury situations. He ended the season well, and he ended, at center. The big issue is going to be what the return is. And yes, it's not going to get done, with Justin Barron. It just isn't. That the Ducks are going to want Logan Mailloux, a David Reinbacher. Given the grief that the organization took for picking Reinbacher, and not Michkov or Ryan Leonard or one of those, I don't see them. I think that would be an admission of a mistake, and I don't see Kent Hughes being that kind of general manager. So that moves to Logan Mailloux, and for me, I would find that a difficult trade to make. You know, we've heard that the word unicorn thrown around a lot. Logan Mailloux, with the offense that he can provide, but yet the intimidation, the physicality, and just the edge that he plays with. And a blue line that had kind of a 1-2 mix of Gouley and Mailloux would be tough for opponents to play against. But Mailloux, that's one of the things that Verbeek has talked about, is wanting size, and he would certainly fit the bill there. I think that's possible. There is some smoke around that issue, and I fully understand why Canadiens fans would be excited about Trevor Zegras and to provide that kind of dynamic goal scoring that is in limited. I'm not saying the Canadiens don't have it; is in limited supply for the Canadiens.
Yeah, that's for sure. And my opinion on Zegras is, if they can come up with some sort of a trade, I do like the idea of him fitting in as an A or B number one center. I like the idea of pushing Doc down to the third line, having a line with like Zegras and Caulfield is certainly intriguing. We'll get to see those two play together at the IIHF World Championships for sure. it's just like we keep coming back to, the what is that return going to look like? And giving up on a guy like Logan Mayhew after the season he just had, that's certainly going to be a difficult thing to try and explore.
Yeah, absolutely.
So looking forward to the draft, some of the names that Montreal Canadiens fans are very excited about include Berkeley Catton, Caden Lindstrom, Cole Eiserman, maybe Macklin Celebrini. We have the draft lottery coming up on Tuesday, so if Montreal wins it, I think that's pretty well settled there. Someone I like quite a bit is Sam Dickinson. I know that we've heard that fans are looking for maybe more of a dynamic forward as opposed to a defenseman. I agree with that. I understand the thinking there. But of course, if the best player available is a defenseman, you kind of have your hands tied there, unfortunately. Are there any other names that you're keeping an eye on or thought that Habs fans are excited about at this upcoming draft?
Well, at the beginning of the season, and again, not knowing where the Canadiens would end, and I was thinking more, you know, around the number 8-9 pick, a name that I mentioned at the very beginning of this season was Konsta Hellenius, and we saw him at playing for Finland. He played at the pro level the entire season. He had 14 goals, 22 assists, was at the World Juniors. I think and perhaps now with the where the Canadiens are going to draft, and we'll know more about that, as you said, on this week, that they can get a better player than that. But I, you know, that's a name that that I liked very much, and maybe you want a more elite kind of scoring player. Aginla is another name that we reported 3 or 4 episodes ago. That the Canadiens have met with him, I believe it is 4 times this season. So certainly on their radar. I think that that at this point, and we're not pretending. I follow the junior and college hockey and the European hockey, but I don't consider myself a draft expert. That's one of the reasons that, but you should be tuning into this podcast, every podcast between now and the draft itself, because we're going to have draft experts. And we waited, and we're going to wait until after the specific pick is known for the Montreal Canadiens. Is it going to be, as my sim said, the number one pick, and then the choice is a little obvious in Celebrini. But we're going to have draft experts, as we did last year. You'll remember we had Russ Cohn, who one of the best scouts. He scouts for Elite Prospects and Sportsology. Sam Cosentino from Sportsnet, we had him on the show last year. Jerome Berube, the head of scouting for Hockey Prospects. We had around the goaltending issue, we had Sean Richardson from FC Hockey. So we're going to be having experts on to give you the information. And you remember last season that very early on we started to gather information and that was pointing in the direction of David Reinbacher. And I know that a lot of you didn't want to hear that, but it turned out to be correct. And I think that's why we have contacts, in the NHL and throughout hockey. We have contacts in the scouting world, and we're going to try to give you, the most objective information we can. The one thing that the kind of leaks that we're hearing, just as I heard about David Reinbacher, last year, is that the Canadiens are going to value size if they're in that 5 range, that they're going to value size this season in the draft. So that might put a negative light on a Berkeley Catton, I don't think that applies to a Demidov if they're able to get in that range, but that they're looking for size and they're looking for a forward this year. That's what we know so far, and we'll know more as we speak with the draft experts.
For sure. But for today, we do have a couple of draft rankings that we will take a look at here. We'll start off with the NHL Central scouting rankings, and then we'll get to the Sportsnet rankings that were put out in March. Fortunately, with the NHL Central scouting rankings, they are divided by North American and European, and also by skaters and goaltenders. So it's a little bit hard to compare, but I think it is a good resource to take a look at. Of course, make no mistakes, Macklin Celebrini topping the charts on that North American list for skaters. Artem Lezhinov is number two, actually, which is pretty high. Caden Lindstrom, number three, and Ziv Buyam coming in at number four there for North American skaters. Looking at the European skaters, I'm a little bit surprised here, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm a little bit surprised to see Ivan Demidov coming in as the second highest ranked European skater. What do you think about this, Rick?
Yes, Saleyev, and we had spoken about this. Saleyev, I wouldn't necessarily have them in that order. I understand the appeal of a 6'7", 211-pound defenseman, but as you go down the list, there's an Adam Juracek. Boy, that name sounds familiar. Helenius is third on the Central Scouting Bureau's European list. So some interesting possibilities there. If you're new to the 2024 draft, it is a very heavy draft on defensemen. Defensemen dominate the top 10 positions. More so than forwards. So that means the forwards are going to be in greater demand, I think. It's going to be interesting if the Canadians go, they haven't chosen best player available the last two seasons. We know that. Two seasons ago, it was size that was the deciding factor, and they went with Slavkovsky. Last year, it was looking for the right shot D, which led to Rheinbacher. So those are considerations, and those are things that we're going to ask our experts when they join us.
Yeah, that's for sure. And if you're talking size, that certainly seems to benefit one Caden Lindstrom, listed at 6'3", ranked third overall in North American skaters. But again, until we know what's happening with that draft lottery, it really is difficult to try and project who the Montreal Canadiens might target.
Just before you leave that, Caden Lindstrom, and he's going to climb. Some list him as 6'4" already, he's just the style of play, a very attractive power forward that would be a big help. And I know that a lot of Canadiens fans have Lindstrom's name on their draft card. The difficulty there is he missed a good part of the season with injuries, and it just makes it difficult. And I remember when Alex Galchenyuk missed a lot of the season, it just makes it very difficult to grade a player when that happens. And I know he came back for the playoffs, but an injury-riddled season, so... It's going to be difficult, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And one other thing I wanted to mention about these rankings is sometimes I like to look at the midterm rank compared to the final rank.
Absolutely.
And at least on the North American skaters side, there are a few climbers and a few players that really fell. And looking at climbers, Zane Parrick and Michael Hague both jumping up quite a bit. Zane was ranked as number 10. Now he's all the way up at 5. Michael Hague going from 19 to 10 is a huge jump as well. And how about Julius Mietinen going from ranked 49th to number 18? I know Montreal has two draft picks in this upcoming draft. That Winnipeg pick is going to be a little bit later, but certainly would be nice to see the Montreal Canadiens try and trade up just a little bit, no?
So, I'd like to see that. Either either trading, if they end up at five after the lottery, trying to trade up, using their draft capital to be able to do that, or similarly, if they make the choice at five, then try to improve that 20, whatever it is going to be, pick. The thing here is, and you're quite correct, that many of the draft rankers like a Bob McKenzie that people like to quote, he just has his midseason rankings out. This the rankings we're talking about today, at least for Central Scouting Bureau, these are their final rankings. And I know there's things that are still happening. But this is the final rankings for CSB, and we'll talk about Sportsnet. That was the end of March rankings, I think beginning of April, end of March rankings. So I think it's important when you look at the rankings to keep in mind that you want the latest information possible.
Yeah, that's for sure. And with that, I think we'll take a look at Jason Bukalo's ranking coming on March 28th. And just because you look at those central scouting rankings, I personally am not a huge fan of how they divide this up. So putting it a little bit more in perspective, and of course, a different opinion here, too. Of course, he has Macklin Celebrini at number one, Demidov all the way at number two here, three, Levshanov, four, Silev, and number five, Carter Yakemchuk. What do you think about that top five there? These are some pretty interesting names, and we've yet to talk about Carter Yakemchuk, too.
Yeah, we've got two forwards at the top, Celebrini and Demidov, and then a whole string of defensemen, Levshunov and Saleyev, Yakemchuk, Dickinson, and so on. Zeb Buyam is in there. Zane Parekh is in there. I know that our dear friend Grant, I think he puts out a must draft name each week. And I know he was pretty high on Yakemchuk. I don't think all the information we're getting from the Canadians, I cannot possibly imagine a scenario where they will choose a defenseman this season. I just can't see it.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And did you have any final comments that you wanted to get into about both of these rankings here?
Yeah, I think the point you made earlier, Cole Iserman, we haven't talked about him. There was for a time you talked about Cole Iserman and he was going to be at the top of the rankings. He's fallen a bit there. He has work to do defensively and all of that, but is he in the mix? The Canadiens fans, I've seen the name thrown around, Beckett Senecky, and maybe for the second first round pick that they have, he would be somewhere on the radar. So there's plenty of names. These are the kinds of names that we're going to be discussing with the draft experts coming up. And we just wanted in this exercise to give you a first exposure, and then we'll drill down from there.
For sure. And with that, I think that takes us to our Canadiens Connection question of the week. And you can answer this in regard to whether it's a trade, a free agent, or a if it's something that happens at the draft, what is your dream scenario for the Habs this offseason? We want to hear from you. We talked about a bunch of different things that could be happening, a bunch of things that we know Habs fans would love to see happen, and we'll give you some time to think about it before you let us know in our final break here. Stay with us. This is the Canadiens Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio.
The Canadiens Connection is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. Their mission is to build a worldwide network of sports fans who are informed, engaged, entertained, and connected. Learn more about RSM, its team, and its portfolio of brands at rocketsportsmedia.com. I bet you enjoy sporting your best Habs jerseys, dressing up your kids and pets in the cutest Habs gear, and showing off your decked-out hockey cave or fan ink. Well, don't just show your friends, show your Habs. The Rocket Sports Media team wants you to boast your finest pictures for our global network of Montreal Canadiens fans. Include the hashtag #ShowYourHabs when posting your fan photos on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Then log on to showyourhabs.com to see your entries, along with photos and posts from Habs fans all over the world. A proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network. If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. In addition, we also offer sponsorship opportunities for fan events and featured areas of website content, giving you name and logo recognition. Visit rocketsportsmedia.com to contact us regarding this unique marketing opportunity. For the most trusted source of news, analysis, and features about the Montreal Canadiens, log in to thn.com/Montreal. Your year-round source for anything Habs-related. That's thn.com/Montreal.
Welcome back to episode 294 of the Canadiens Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Make sure that you're following at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Plus, you can check out our website, CanadiansConnection.fm. And also, feel free to text us anytime via the Rocket Sports text line. It's 5853-ROCKET. That's 5853-ROCKET. Anything that you heard on the show, you want to answer our Canadiens Connection question of the week, that's the best way to reach out to us. And Rick, we've got quite a few exciting weeks coming up, and it's going to be pretty difficult to keep track of everything. I think we're going to do our best. We do a pretty good job year after year laying things out for Habs fans in the best way possible, right?
For sure. And the way we present the content in multiple different forms, whether you want to read articles, whether you want to listen to a podcast, whether you want to watch a video, all of this is portable. Take it with you to the cottage. Listen to the podcast while you're mowing the lawn. We present the content the way you want to see it, and to make sure that you're kept up to date and not arrive, in September and say, when did that happen?
So here's what you need to know from Rocket Sports. We cover the Montreal Canadiens for the hockey news, and you can find all of that content at thn.com/Montreal. You'll find the Habs notebook. You'll find feature articles all throughout this offseason. All of your Canadiens coverage in one place. And if you like our multimedia content, we also have a YouTube channel. Just make sure that you're subscribed to that. Search at All Habs and you'll be able to find it. YouTube.com/AllHabs. And throughout the week, we put out a few different things you can look out for. On Mondays, that's when this podcast, the Canadiens Connection podcast, gets put out onto YouTube. And Amy Johnson hosts different shows that come out on Tuesday and Thursday. On Tuesday, it's a Rocket Hockey Report. That's everything Laval Rocket. And on Thursday, it's the Habs Hockey Report. That's everything Montreal Canadiens and your midweek update. So look out for those throughout the summer. Leave a like, leave a comment, and most importantly, subscribe so that you never miss a single one of those episodes. Coming up on Tuesday, May the 7th, we have a big announcement. The draft lottery is going to happen, and we will be live streaming. A live stream watch along, myself, joined by my Rocket Sports Media colleague Nathan, will be live streaming and watching along with you. So make sure that you hit the notification bell on our YouTube channel, circle the day on the calendar, hit subscribe so you don't miss it, and make sure that you come join us. Who wants to watch Gary Bettman and listen to him talk when you can come hang out with us at Rocket Sports Media? We have a live chat on there so you can make your opinion be heard. And we also do a pretty good job of laying out the best information that we possibly can. Are you excited about this one coming up on Tuesday, Rick?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, as many of these decisions are franchise changing, potentially events.
For sure. So make sure that you're subscribed to the premier Rocket Sports Radio podcast on your favorite podcasting app as well, the Canadiens Connection. You can find every single episode at CanadiansConnection.fm. We'll be here every single Saturday throughout the summer. We don't go on vacation. And make sure that if you enjoy the show as well, we really appreciate if you leave us a 5-star review. That goes a long way in helping us out. We are your inside link to the Montreal Canadiens. And just a brief announcement here for our Rocket Sports team. We are recruiting, so if you are a passionate hockey fan, you enjoy writing, you like media stuff, you want to do some production, join the podcast, if you want to help out with some live streams, anything that you think that you might be passionate about and you're interested in joining the Rocket Sports team, reach out to us. And Rick, what's the best way for people to do so?
You can send us a text at 585-3-ROCKET, but I think it's best to send us an email and tell us about yourself. Send a resume if you want. Send us an email at hello@rocketsportsmedia.com. That's hello@rocketsportsmedia.com. We're looking to add whatever your talent is, but specifically, maybe I'll make this invitation at this time of year. We've got grads coming out of maybe a communication program or a journalism program, looking for an internship, looking for to gain experience, and we're happy to bring on writers, particularly those that over the summer can write some quick hits for us on news that's come out and get those up on the Hockey News website as soon as possible. So daily quick hit writer is at the top of my list to add this summer.
And we look forward to hearing from each and every one of you. Right now, we'll get to our Canadiens Connection question of the week. We are asking all of our listeners, what is your dream scenario for the Habs this offseason? The text line is 5853-ROCKET. You can also reach out to us on social media at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We get tons of text tweets, messages, emails. Anyway, we get reached out to. We get tons of those throughout the week, and we love to hear from each and every single one of you. So continue all of those. Let us know your thoughts along the way. Anything you heard on the podcast, anything that comes to mind, we enjoy hearing from each and every one of you. Coming up this week, of course, today, May the 4th be with you, Star Wars Day. So a big shout out to all the Star Wars fans out there. And then the big day to circle on the calendar, Tuesday, May the 7th, the NHL Draft Lottery is that day, the time TBD. Make sure that you join us for a live stream watch along on YouTube. This is a very big day for the Montreal Canadiens franchise, and we'd love to take that all in with each and every one of you as well. That's going to be a wrap for us today. Thank you all for listening. Make sure that you are subscribed to the Canadiens Connection podcast in the player or on any of your favorite podcasting apps. You can also share it on social media if you like what you heard. Enjoy the week, and we'll be back here next Saturday, May the 11th, for another great episode. Thank you for listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadiens Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.